My name is Gabriel. In the Bible, I'm called an angel, or in the Greek, angelos. And that's what we do. We carry messages, because that's what angel means. We carry messages for God. And in the history, in our history of carrying messages, today is a very, very important day, because we carried really important messages about today. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I've been around for a long time. I'm part of the heavenly realm of God. Would you throw that picture of Gabriel? There we go. Fellow beings, the seraphim and the cherubim, join us angels in declaring the worship and praise of God. Living in the presence of God is immensely wonderful. However, not all of the heavenly court has felt so worshipful, historically speaking. One of our angel friends led a rebellion. And yes, if you were wondering, angels have free will as well. And in that rebellion against God, he was cast out to the earthly realm where he has reigned. It is his realm, and he's reigned there with impunity. John wrote about this rebellion, and Jesus also spoke about it. Jesus said, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to Jesus, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, Jesus told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And from John, then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle. He and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. But not all of us have been so deceived. We've remained faithful to our Creator and have been curious to watch how God would repair the awful tear in the fabric of creation. But we're not the only ones that have wondered that. Peter said, even the prophets wanted to know more about what they prophesied regarding this gracious salvation. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. And so there has been an audience watching God do his work. Those who abandon hope, and I've noticed that in your national political process, many have done that. Those who abandon their hope regarding the future are not paying attention to what God is and has been doing to restore things to their correct order. Almost from the beginning, he was connecting with his, God that is, was connecting with his creation. When Sarah mistreated Hagar and sent her away into the desert, God sent one of us angels to Hagar and reassured her of God's favor and a future filled with children. But it didn't stop there. Angels went to Sodom to deliver a message to Lot of the coming judgment on that city. We also showed up to stop Abraham from driving the knife into the chest of his son. The Lord will provide a sacrifice, we called out. Perhaps one of our greatest moments was in a dream of Jacob. We ascended and descended a ladder to and from heaven and earth. Here's a sculpture that is on a a Christian university campus of what that artist thought of when he thought of us going back and forth. What a demonstration, what a visual demonstration of God's connection to his earth. Carrying God's message continues in the New Testament. I went to Mary to deliver the news that she would be the mother of Jesus. And after the birth of the Christ, a choir of angels, one of our choirs, appeared to shepherds in a field with their sheep, singing, "Glory to God in the highest." It was a great moment. We've truly been God's messengers throughout time, delivering both good and bad news, depending on the needs of the moment. With each message, we saw how much God loved his world and is working to reclaim it, this world, from Satan. But we've not always been aware of what God is up to. Paul called what we have been unfolding the great mystery of our faith. So even other people besides ourselves have been puzzled. And he described it this way. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced by nations. He was believed and taken to glory. That was Paul's summary of this great mystery. In a single verse from 1 Timothy, God's great scheme, his plan, is disclosed. Mystery and plan of God was wrapped up in the coming of Jesus to the earth. The single message carried the entirety of God's strategy. It's really kind of like the Rosetta Stone that was used to translate different languages, or the Turing machine. If you watched the movie about Turing and his work to decode the Nazi messages. This was the precursor of modern-day computers. Everything makes sense in the way that the Turing machine or the Rosetta Stone did its work when you know about Christ's incarnation and death. The darkness of Satan's work was rivaled only by the blinding light of Christ's work. What we witnessed in Bethlehem was only the briefest glimmer of a larger, more powerful work that had been going on and continues to be going on. God rolled up his sleeves and entered into battle against Satan. It couldn't be a nuclear strike, which, while momentarily effective, would not have permanently extinguished the evil released by Adam's choice. Paul spoke of this when he said, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." The story of Jesus' birth and its announcement by angels must be told in light of the larger picture of what God is doing behind the scenes. Telling that story produces hope, eliminates despair, and makes one optimistic. These are all things in short supply in this world. I took the message to Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, and Zechariah didn't believe me at first. But in time, he saw the birth of his son, and his son John's announcement of the birth of Jesus. I took the message to Mary. I said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and you will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." So this morning, I, Gabriel, would remind you of what Peter said about the moment you are now living in. This salvation is something even the prophets wanted to know about. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. You're living in a great moment. Do not allow the spirit of the age to distract you. The spirit of politics or of cynicism or hopelessness. Because God is at work. And God can redeem anything. Whether this is completed now or in 100 years from now or 1,000, God is at work. And that's reason for optimism. Let's pray. Dear Father, on this Christmas day, may we not be distracted by the weak and tormented spirit of our times. May we see rather that much larger picture of your powerful and eternal work, defeating evil forever and restoring this creation to its former glory. With the angels we sing, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth. Those to whom God is pleased. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.